the faithfulness of God, the provision of God, and also over the preaching of the year. So I'm going to try give you a year and a half an hour. Amazing. 52 sermons in a half an hour I'm going to give you. And you're like, yeah, right, Noah. And just to say that, you know, that the Lord has been faithful to us and he's been good to us. And Galatians says this, that the whole process of reaping and sowing. And we've sowed well this year, Liberty. And we look forward to the reaping in the coming year. We've sowed deep, we've sowed long, we've sowed hard. And the promise of God is that we will reap. And I look forward to this year of reaping what God has established and given us to sow into the lives of people, into the heavenly places, into our own lives, and into the lives of people that don't know him yet. Because there's always a payoff. If you sow, there's always a reaping. It's just, it's impossible not to reap. And we've sowed well. I'm thinking of stories throughout the year. Even a young girl just came to church Christmas morning that was on air lying for a hamper in the city on Wednesday. And she said she's an alcoholic, but she goes to AA for 18 years now. And she was saying, "Where's my God?" And she got a hamper, and in the hamper was a Christmas card from Liberty saying whatever Rob put on it. And she says, "Where's my God?" This was after getting the hamper. This was Jordan, just over the Christmas. And she said she looked at the card that Rob took time to design. And she said, "I realize God is here with me right now." And she came to church on Sunday, and she's in Cork. And she texted me yesterday saying, "Where can I get to a church in Cork?" And it's amazing. You sow and you reap. You sow, and it mightn't look like, it might be in the form of a hamper or a card. It might be in the form of a handshake. It might be in the form of an arm around the shoulder, an encouraging word. This is what Jesus reduced it to a place where we could all do it. If you give a cup of cold water in my name. It's like he didn't make it if you give €1 million in my name. He brought it down to the most basic thing, water, and says, if you give this in my name, there's a result. There's something on the other end of it. And this year, I believe that we've sowed well. And at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave us a word from Isaiah 55, which the year before that was from Isaiah 54, funny enough. But from Isaiah 55 and verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And we just reduced that to a little phrase last year. This is what we built all of last year on. This word was, if you do it God's way, you get God's results. Now, we can have our own ideas. We can have our own plans and our own purposes. But if we do it our way, we're not getting God's results. But if you do it God's way, his promise is you will get his results. And it's best to link in and to sync ourselves with God's thinking, because then we'll always get what God wants us to get. So we built our whole year around this, preaching from it from the beginning of the year of giving unto God and God giving unto us. And so I want to put up a slide and look at some of the events, and then we'll get to the preaching. So some of the things, big things that happened this year for us, Bray went Sunday morning from a Sunday evening service, and that was a big step forward in establishing our roots into Bray, going Sunday mornings, because we've more families coming, we've more families with kids coming that couldn't come on a Sunday evening, and reaching out more. Also, we had our first fire conference, and we have our fire conference coming up again in February, and we have a month of prayer coming up in January. And that was just an announcement I didn't get to say, was that the month of January is our month of prayer. We give the first month unto the Lord, because we do, the only thing we continue to do is our outreaches, because we are committed to our outreaches. But everything in church, link groups, everything else just shuts down. Bible study shuts down. Theology course shuts down. And the thing that's really, really important is that we wait on God, we worship God going into the new year. And this is exciting for us guys in Bray. If you remember last year, we put capstones down into the four corners of Bray. And we said, this place belongs to Jesus. And that we're going to take this place in Jesus' name. We're going to love this place in Jesus' name and every person in it. And it's funny because a team went to, who went to Bray Head? Anyone here went to Bray Head that night? It was cold that night. Anyone, we went to, where did we go, Stephen? The Bog Hall Road. Some went to Fassaro. Anyone went to Fassaro? No, anyone, and then the last place was here in the town. Sean, I know you went to the town because the neighbors told us that you prayed up a storm up around there. And it was just saying that this place belongs to God. And what we done was, we have four locations. We're in Clondalkin. We went to Clondalkin. People from here came to Clondalkin. People from Clondalkin. People in the city came to here. And this year we have a fourth location, which is Finglas. And there, so we're going to go to the four locations and we're going to pray. So every Tuesday and Wednesday, please put that in your diary. Tuesday and Wednesday for the month of January is our nights where we come together. One night to worship God. There's nothing else other than worshiping God, waiting on God. And then the second night is what we've received from God out of the place of worship. We will pray it into our locations on the second night. Yeah? So keep your, the locations will be, we're just looking at securing two buildings up in Clondalkin and one in Finglas, and then we'll have all of our dates and times. But Tuesday and Wednesday, it's definitely going to be on. And that's very, very important to us because that's our, Lord, your first. Your plans, your purposes is for us. And we give this month, it's our time of as a church to rest in God, to rest in waiting on God, because you know, and you know me in any way, that the next 11 months, it's hard graft. It's sown and it's reaping and it's sown and it's reaping. So that month is very important to rest. So don't go off exhausting yourself elsewhere, doing other things, and then come to me in January or next September saying, you have us wrecked. Get your rest while you can, believe me, because it's very, very important. And then after that, we had our fire conference, which was, for me, brilliant. We're trying to establish a conference in the city, for the city, to bless the city, and to bring speakers and worship and the word of God that we believe we carry as a church into the city. Because our passion is to reach the city. See, if you reach the city, you reach the nation. Every invading force that would come to Ireland would first go and take a hold of the capital. And because if you take the capital, you normally take the rest of the city. So we had a great time. We invited the fathers of Dublin that have walked with God for many years. And they came and spoke at it and preached at it. And Chris Rowe, if anyone remember, knows Chris Rowe, Chris was my guest of honor. And if anyone knows Chris, he doesn't want any applause. He doesn't. He's like, no, if it's about honoring man, I don't even want to be there. Amazing man of God. And he came. And I want to tell you, I wept when he walked in the door. There's something about that father's carrying faith. And mothers, don't get me wrong. They carry something. They carry depth and longevity. That was upstarts, young upstarts haven't got yet. And Chris came and he spoke and he talked about his he was a missionary kid. And his mom and dad went to China and he brought him to China as a kid, him and his brother or his sister, I can't think, one of his siblings, and he went. And Chris was saying that while he was there, there was two women that went that given their life just in an old word that he used as spinsters. They weren't going to marry. They were going to give their life unto the Lord. And they served with Chris's mom and dad. And Chris was saying, he was just 77 that time. And when he came back, he was over in England. And he says, what I was doing in England, I went to a graveyard, obviously where his mom and dad were buried. And there was 50 missionaries that went to China, buried in this one cemetery. And he went around all the headstones and he said, I realized that, he says, every one of them prayed for me. And he says, that's the heritage I carry. And he says, and that's the heritage I give to you. It was the highlight of the decade for me, that he was given everything that was poured out to him. He was giving it on to us. I'm delighted to say that we have it again coming up. Not the same dates. It's the following week, the 7th and the 8th. We've had some great worship nights. We have another thing that we started, the Magnificent 7, which is enabling young and upcoming preachers to come and get trained in the communicators. And then they come and they deliver 7-minute sermons during these services. And that has been brilliant. Go ahead, Mal. And then we had our offering for the house, which is always important, that we have a special offering once or twice a year to sort of push forward what we're doing. And so that was a tremendous generosity of you guys giving into the house so that we can push forward. We had a Pulse camp. I think we had 30 kids go, Mike. 30 youth go to youth camp. And this is something that Mags says to me. Mags is one of our youth workers and a tremendous passion. But we gave a call for finances to help young people go to camp. And I don't know how many thousand came in. But you guys, like, you rocked that woman's world anyway. Because youth is our passion, and to see you guys being so generous to sending youth. And there was 200 plus youth at that, and that was an amazing week of encounter with God, of encountering the presence of God. I was there for one of the nights, and it was phenomenal. And then we had our baptisms. Anyone remember the baptisms? It was absolutely crazy. I can see you guys laughing. We done it on the seafront, and we didn't take time to see what time the tide was coming in, and we were battered by the sea. Honestly, I was I battered by the sea or not? And the first girl that came in, we were under the water 3 or 4 times before we got the baptizer. That's how strong the waves were, and we were ending up like face first into the gravel. It was, and all them turkeys watching us and laughing. It was exhilarating. I have to say that it was amazing. We had a great this Identity Keys was one of our youth groups done this in conjunction with European Youth in Action, and they got funding to do this great thing about the identity of young people and how they see themselves, and it was well funded, and they had an art exhibition, they had keys that they made for every person that came. It was a tremendous uplifter for our young people. Go ahead, Mal. Then we had some concerts, Nathan, Jess, and the Fields of Life Choir, if anyone remembers, down in the hotel down the road, which was brilliant. We had Marlon come, and he was a South African guy, brilliant musician, and came. And then we had the great big day out and the kids' week. And the great big day out in Bray was, we had 3 great big day outs where I think we bought over 2,500 burgers. So that will tell you the level of what we've done. And there was another barbecue that was just done just prior to the great big day out. But if you went up the Bog Hall Road and you went to Ballywaltrum Centre, just the little park behind that was like, it reminded me of, remember where the Smurfs used to live with all the little tents? But when I came around the corner and I seen all those tents where the barbecue was, where the pampering for the ladies' hands were, help me, where the karaoke was, where the big slide was, where the face painters was, where the prayer tent was, where the Hope Cafe was, all of these little tents. I'm telling you, it was a joy to behold. Just the level of servanthood into the community from you guys was absolutely amazing. And then we had that week as well, we had a kids' week, and in our 3 locations, and we had 99 young kids give their life to Jesus that week. It was absolutely, there might be a picture, Mal, if we go to the next one. Do you see that cross there? Again, that came out the Clondalkin, and that cross had 99 little hearts on it. That young kids were going up and saying, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And also that little cup of tea, an outreach that we do in the city location to senior citizens. They just put on a tea party just recently, and they raised money for the Philippines. And this is people from the community doing this, and it was really amazing. I don't know what's next, Mal. And then just in recent weeks, we've done our great big giveaway in our 4 locations. And we gave out 1,100 hampers to 1,100 families. And it was incredible to behold. If you see all the boxes, there's team. We got a lend to this factory. Teams come in and wrap the boxes with wrapping paper. Everything is done with the dignity of the receiver in mind. Absolutely everything is done with dignity and respect. Then they're wrapped in red bows and cellophane, and up there is a production line. Can you imagine 1,100 boxes being wrapped? The best wrappers are in Liberty, that's all I know. And imagine 1,100 tins of beans, 1,100 boxes of biscuits, 1,100 hams, 1,100 chickens, 1,100, what else? What else? 1,100 boxes of cereal. Can you imagine all of this? Now, the equivalent of someone going in to buy this in a shop would be about, we reckon, about 40 to 50 euro. That by 1,000 is 55,000 euro. Now you ask me where the money came from. From God. Because we have no money. That's why we're going to take up another offering. But it seems the more we look after those that haven't got it, the Lord keeps partnering. There was a young man that knows about this, and his company was Carol's son. For those who know Carol, her son is an underwriter in an insurance company. And his insurance company got, there was a defamation against their name, and Terence spotted it in a document. And he said to the boss, look at Dave, after there's a defamation against us, and then he went to court and whatever. But it wasn't about money, it was about their name. So anyway, they were awarded €35,000, and they said to Terence, name a charity. And he says, the great big giveaway, and they gave us 10 grand. They wrote out a 10 grand check towards this. God, and then the young people coming in, or the mother coming in with a tin of beans, or someone brought in a tin of biscuits, and all of it together, and people giving checks, and people giving, adds up to 1,100 families being blessed. And I tell you, when you give those hampers out, who was over in Bray when, was it amazing? Just connecting with people. Because that's what it's about. That's a hamper. But on the other side of that hamper is a person, is a family. Like my wife would tell you, I went into a shop where I was getting, where I got 1,100 boxes of cereal, would you believe? And Sharon says, Noel, your eyes dilated. Like I was after getting a hoy. And she goes, how can you get excited about Rice Krispies? It's not about Rice Krispies. It's about the Rice family on the other side. Or the Brady family, or whoever family on the other side, that these are just bridges of love. These are just bridges of somebody cares for you. And one of the best compliments we got in an email from a young woman was, thanks for being the hands of Jesus to us. Again, by the way, again. And that's the greatest compliment I think we can be given as a church. Not that you have great this or great that, but thanks for being the hands of Jesus. And that was brilliant. So, Mal, if you want to go on. And so we started off the year with a whole series of Doing It God's Way, which was our tagline for the whole year. Obeying God gets God's results. Showing grace gets God's results. Giving gets God's results. You want to know what it is to prosper? Look at God's way of prosperity. If you want to know what it is to raise a family, look at God's ways of raising a family. Because if you do it God's way, you get God's results. If you want to know how to be a great husband, look at God's way of being a great husband. It's not rocket science. He's wrote it down for us in his word. And it's amazing. We keep finding this stuff. And throughout that month, we were bringing all of this preaching together of like, look, let's do it God's way. Missions is God's way. You do missions, you get God's results. And in February, we sent a team. I think it was February. We sent one team out to Lesotho in Africa. And we sent another team to Belarus in Eastern Europe. And they went out under the whole thing of, we're going out God's way. And we're looking for God's results. Easter brought us to a place of looking to the cross again. And everything that we need for salvation and life is found in the cross and in the blood of Jesus. We done a whole series on mental health, which is a huge, huge crisis in this city, in the nation. But it's also a crisis within the church. That this is a subject that we wash over or we don't engage with. And we've done everything to fully engage with mental health issues, with mental health resource that is out there. And it was one of those series that people came back and says, thank you. Thank you for addressing these issues. We can't wash over them. We can't just say A, B and C and people are left feeling, but I still feel the same. It's all right to acknowledge there's something. Because when you acknowledge there's a problem, God can do something about it. You know, like your man, remember your man that came to Jesus and Jesus says, what's wrong? Remember the man with the shriveled hand? And imagine, like in church today, if Jesus would have said, what's wrong with your hand? We would show him the good hand. Oh, this hand is great, Jesus. No, I don't want to see that hand. What's about your other hand? And we'd still show him the good hand. We go, look, I can do 50 press-ups with that hand. Like, I can peel an apple with just that hand, you know. But there's something wrong with your other hand. Oh, you don't want to see that hand. He does. He's not afraid of our shriveled hearts and lives and minds. He's not afraid of that. And we can't be afraid. There is Jesus. Will you do something with it? There is Jesus, an awkward looking thing. It's bent over. I don't like anyone see it. I dress it up. I wear the best gloves on it. You can't believe how much effort goes into just hiding that pain, Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to hide our pain. He's an expert. He's a genius at healing. He's a genius at setting people free. He's a genius at unlocking knots and unraveling knots that has knotted us up for years and years. He's a genius at this. And that was one of our best ones for me anyway. And then we entered into summer and we had some guest preachers in. I don't anyone remember Shane Bone from Nashville came in and spoke. really, really brilliantly on missional leadership, on missional living, he spoke on. And then we had Cecil Kerr come in and he spoke. Cecil Stewart, sorry, came in and he spoke. We had the 7 minutes people get up, new people coming to not only preach 7 minutes, but preaching the half an hour session. We had Mags and Andy, two of them, always sitting there like they're in love. And both of them spoke like and continue to speak this year because our heart is to raise people up. Amen. I'm rushing through this. And then I guess what we've stayed on for the next couple of months is this radical discipleship. We sat down as a group of people. We're like, this is what we believe God wants to say. See, a lot of the issues that, like for instance, as a pastor, as a leader, you know, one of these things that pastors have to do is get up and sort of, we need more money type of thing. I'm saying to the Lord, I don't want to be doing that, Lord. I don't think you shouldn't have to try whip God's people into giving. Do you know? And I said to the church over the year, sometimes I feel like a car salesman. You know, and I'm like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And Rob says to me, the pastor of this location says to me, no, giving is a discipleship issue, not a pastor's issue. The light went on for me. Everything is a discipleship issue. Forgiveness is not a pastor trying to get the people to forgive. Forgiveness is a discipleship issue. What did Jesus say about it? And then if I'm a disciple, and that means I'm a follower, that means I'm an apprentice to Jesus, that what he does I need to do, or what he says I need to be one that comes in alignment with it, then it makes everything a lot easier. So we had this whole thing. Andy started off out here with Christianity versus discipleship. Whoa, that was a big one. I'm convinced with all my heart that God never intended us to be called Christians. Convinced of it. No one can unconvince me. That wasn't a word made up from God. That was a word made up by non-believers. But the word in the Bible that's used 256 times is disciples. Followers, adherents to Jesus, and a follower of somebody. And I'm now convinced, and no one can unconvince, because they can't show me in the scriptures. You can't, but you can. I can show you three places we were called Christians, and that was from outsiders. They're those that followed the Christ. It was a derogatory term. And see, Christianity is, we've muddied the water up a bit, and we can go, it's a give and take now. People can get on radio stations and get on televisions and represent us, but they're just living it their way instead of living it Jesus' way. That's who I want to represent me, someone that is following God, not someone that has an idea about God, or someone that thinks they know it all. No, it's someone, when you're a disciple, you know you don't know it all. And you're a learner, and you're someone that is hungry for learning from God. And it was a tremendous, a Christian in Christianity, the way we've done it is, well, I'll give if I want, and I'll give if I don't want. A disciple is like Jesus, everything belongs to you. As a Christian, I'll turn up the church whenever I want. My battle is against not flesh and blood, but it's against duvets and pillowcases. A disciple is, Jesus, I'm going to be wherever you are, wherever your people are. What you want me to do, you say. Where you want me to serve, you say, Jesus, I'm yours. That's discipleship. And my goal is to eradicate that type of thinking. That's like everything. Jesus says, if you want to live, this is the way to live. If you want to know what living is, being fully alive, it's following him. And this series has took us on a journey. And if you see the logo on it there, it's not just a series, it's a lifestyle for a lifetime. So it wasn't just let's get this series done and we move on to another series. It's like this is a continuation. When I'm making decisions, like our 7 minute magnificent seven people, when they were getting up, they were like, you know, newer Christians, and they were bringing things that they've heard only now, but we probably heard 20 years ago. What would Jesus do? One of our 7 minutes gave us a challenge of, for this month, every decision, everything you're asked, everything you're going to do, first ask the question, what would Jesus do? What would I do makes me Christian. What would Jesus do makes me a disciple. What a challenge for us. Let's take that into January. Jesus, what would you do on this? What would you do? Or even better, what are you doing in this situation? And some of this the sermons that came out was, we called this series Radical Discipleship. Radical means to get back to the root of something, to get back to the basics. That's what it means, to give yourself to. So we got onto the scriptures, we got into Jesus. And we just looked at what was Jesus calling to do and what is a discipleship message. And Mag spoke on radical forgiveness. We spoke on radically sent, radically love, radically serving, radically honoring, radically praying, radically putting God first, radical provision, radically sent, radically multiplication of discipleship. Rob spoke about multiplication in this fact of that if you took someone and discipled them, what you need to be is just a few steps ahead to someone to tell them what you know. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a theologian. Just find someone that's newer in the Lord and tell them what you know and be there for them. And he says, and you multiply and multiply in that way. And I think that was good preaching. I spoke on the same message, I think it was out here. Rob spoke in the city. And I spoke on the same message, but in a different context. That for when on the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 added, yeah? Why? Because something from heaven came to earth. And for God, for bread to be reached, we can hard work and we should so. But for bread to be really reached, something from heaven has to land. Something that's radical and something that is God, where people, where we read about in yesteryear revivals, that was heaven touching down on earth. And that's multiplication to the max. And then we finished. See, I told you I get through a year. We finished with the adventure, that last one there. Some things that traditional church have and hold really dearly, we're only finding out about some of them now, and Advent is one of them. And we just love the whole idea of the build-up to the birth of Jesus and the weeks coming in and the preaching leading up to them. And I remember I was at a funeral around Christmas time in the Catholic Church, and there was a big, manger. And the priest came down, I said hello to him, and I says, your baby Jesus is not there. You know, like, and like this was like a week before Christmas, and he looks at me and he goes, he's not born yet, no. So, oh, yeah. It was on the last week they put the baby Jesus in, do you know what I mean? And I was like, that's really cute. I like that, actually. And which I really thought, and we spoke about Christmas season, about the Christmas Advent, the arrival of something. That's what Advent means. There's something that has been prophesied in the Old Testament, and the advent of something coming was the lead up to Jesus being born. And then there was another advent of him rising from the dead. And there's another advent of him coming back again. Something that we live in joyful expectation of happening in the future. And we're in the middle of an advent right now of waiting on the return of the King. What a great day. What a tremendous day. And there's a lot of being said about the return of Jesus that gets up my goat, to be honest. And because I tell you this, if Jesus is returning and we really believe it, well, we need to tell the people that don't know him about him. I get sick and tired of looking at television programs of Christianity, and they tell us about the end times, and then they say, will you buy my 4 books? That's how to survive the end times. I'm not surviving the end times. I'm going home. And in the 1900s, when Pentecost, when the Azusa Street Revival hit, they were convinced that this was the end times. And they went and told the world about Jesus. Why? Because they believed he was coming back. And that's why Pentecostalism, they reckon again 2050, there will be 1 billion Pentecostals in the world. Because that fire is still in Pentecostalism of telling the world about Jesus. They reckon that there'll be 1 billion. That's 1/6 of the world is Pentecostal. That's just Pentecostal. That's not about all the other streams. Like, and when we hear stats of this Islam is the fastest growing, this and that, that's a load of baloney. Someone else is putting that out. If you look at third world, which is not third world anymore, Christianity is thriving. And Europe is the last one to be hit. And on these sermons for the adventure we spoke on, there's something about Mary. That was a good one. And we looked at where maybe Joseph was like, there's something about that Mary one. Maybe when they heard are pregnant, they were saying, there's something about Mary. But heaven was saying, there's something about Mary. There's something about that girl. She's going to say, yes, Lord. She's going to say, we spoke about the star trackers, about the three wise men looking for the sign, following the light. We spoke about there was no soil at night. It was chaotic that night. There was so much heavenly activity. It was amazing. Like, there was nothing silent about angels coming out and singing in their tens of thousands. There was nothing. You know, we see these lovely little cards of Jesus being born in the manger, and the cows are looking like this, and sheep looking like this, and donkeys. Come on. They were being donkeys and cows and sheep. And not only that, who says that that there was no one else in the manger? Because Bethlehem was bursting at the seams. There was no place else to get a night's sleep. So maybe there was loads of other people there while Mary was having the baby in the corner. Children running around, lively life in the place. It was no silent night. So if there's any songwriters amongst us, I want you to write a song. There was no silent night. I love silent night. We had a great kids program in both locations, and it was brilliant. So I'm finished. We had weddings, we've had funerals, we've had graduations, entrance exams, people getting new jobs, people getting their degrees, people getting engaged, people having babies, people on the way to having babies. Great year. We've had defeats this year. Still a great year. Still an amazing year. We things that we wanted to do that we never got done. Still a great year. We decisions that we were going to do stuff and we hadn't got the finances to do it. Still a great year. And all that we've done, God has been faithful in everything. A man says to me, who was given out hampers in another county, he says to me, Noel, what do you put your hampers in? He says, I so described the boxes to him. And he says, where'd you get the boxes? He says, we buy them. And he says, where'd you get the money for the boxes? I think it was the 1st of December, and maybe the week prior to that, I prayed for the money for the boxes. I says, Lord, the hampers are coming up, and I haven't got the money for boxes. And so I prayed, and I was going into the city location, fully expecting to be handed €1,000. I needed €1,000 for boxes and wrapping paper. And I went in, and fully expecting to come home with someone handed me €1,000. And I preached, and I forgot all about it while I was preaching, and I didn't say it. I wouldn't have said that in anything anyway. But anyway, I went home, and I was like, oh, the boxes, Lord. And Thomas Curtis, who was their pastor in Finglas, was speaking down in Waterford. Well, Gary Davison was speaking in Waterford, and Tomo went with him. And Gary gets Thomas up and says, tell him about them hampers. And Thomas told him about the hampers and came home with €1,000 and says, no, and I was like, you don't know what I prayed this morning. We got the 1,000 boxes, and the guy says, what you do when you get the 1,000 boxes? What we done with the team who packs, wraps the boxes, they said, what's next? And they'll tell you. He says, we watch God fill them. Now they look at you as if you're mad because they realize you've no money. And that's what I said to the guy. God will fill them. I said, what do you put yours in? He said, black plastic bags. I says, brother, I love you, but we put rubbish in black plastic bags, not gifts to people. And this was the key to it all. If you do it God's way, you get God's results. I says to him, if you look after the widows and orphans and those who haven't, God will always look after you. Because he has a special account, I believe it, for widows and orphans. He has provision that nobody knows about. He says to the widow and their son, just put out your jars and I'll fill them for you. He supernaturally does this stuff. Why? Because when you do it his way, and if we look after the poor, and we look after those who don't know him, he will always look after us because that's God's way. So let's stand as we enter this new year. There will be a message for the new year next week. And wherever you land, wherever is your church, I pray that you would know 2014. My friend says 2014, salvation will be seen. And Lord, we've known great provision this year. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, we thank you for keeping us through troubled times. We thank you for your peace and your joy that just this world hasn't given us, so it can't rob us, Lord, unless we give it away. And I pray, Father God, that the peace of God that transcends all understanding would be experienced right now in every heart and mind. Going into this year, Lord God, I pray that we would know what you have for us. As was told to us earlier on, that if we ask you your will, you will let it be known to us. And we accept that, Father. That, Father, the things that we have to make decisions about, we want to know your will, Father. We want to know your plans and your purposes. And Lord, we just open ourselves up to receive the answer. To receive it, Lord. You said, ask. And we bless you, Lord. And we bless, Father God, the work of God in this town, Father God, with this people, Lord God, that we love, Father God. And I pray as we enter this year, Lord God, that we would know a reaping of what was sown last year, Father God. That every church that, Lord, that has a heart for the lost, Father, would know increase, would know great passion, Father, would know your heart and your fire, Father God, and your results in reaching people this year, Father. Father, we pray, Father, for every household. Just put your hands out like you're going to receive something. Father, that everything that is needed, you have it. And Father, I pray for a release from heaven into every household, Father, this day, in Jesus' name, Father. Father, I pray, Father, that peace would rule and reign. I pray, Father God, that your word, Father, would always be a light unto our path. I pray, Lord God, that we're far off, we'd come near. Father God, that if our ears are stuffed up with problems and situations, that they'd be unblocked now so that we could clearly hear you, Lord. That our eyes could clearly see you, Jesus, in the midst of all things, Father. Now, Father, we bless one another, Lord God. You just put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you. And just pray God's blessing. Just, Lord, thank you, Father, for your goodness in my brother's life and my sister's life. I just pray, Father, for increase of your voice, of your leading, Lord God, of your passion, Lord, of your mercy, of your grace, Father, that we would know, Lord, a year, Lord God, of hearing and doing your will. Father, I don't want to be just a Christian. I want to be a disciple. Lord, I pray, Father, that Lord, that you would keep me, Lord God, Father God, following the Master. I pray God's blessing over you. I pray that this year that you will be firmly established in God, in Jesus' great name. And the people said, amen and amen. Please stay with us and have a cup of tea and just introduce yourself if you don't know someone here. And we'll see you next Sunday.